Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now the pitch by Martinez is up and in and hits Gerald Williams on the left hand.
Dig your cleats in.
Now he's going to charge the mound. He's going to charge Martinez, and the fight is on. He got a right hand in before he's grabbed from behind by Varitek, and now the benches are empty.
It's time for hour two of the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris.
Yerzynski wanting to know, am I going? He is going.
And Mike Lynch.
It is a collision at the plate, and Yerzynski not only bangs into Barrett, bangs onto the plate, and here they go.
Step up to the plate for hour two of the Hot Corner.
Posetnik getting into it with Barrett. And there is some hooking going on in the bottom of two piles.
On 1080.
Rudez had helped. Whoa. Bautista got all he could handle with that. Wow. That's some pretty solid contact right there.
The Fan.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you missed any of the first hour, you can download that on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. There's also the Beers on Us podcast. We'll drop tomorrow. You can get that wherever you get your podcast: iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Omni, Radio.com, 1080thefan.com. We'll be talking Dunkel tomorrow on that podcast. As a style, break that down, drink a little bit, plus Beer of the Week. Don't forget that. We are joined in studio, as we always are at the end of the season, with Big John Sukanik, former offensive lineman at the mighty Washington State University.
Yeah, right tackle extraordinaire.
What up?
Four-year starter?
No, I wasn't that good.
No, four-game starter.
No. It took a while before the—
Two-year starter.
Yes, two years. My entire strategy when I got to— so I got to WSU as a young, spry, out-of-shape offensive lineman in the summer of 1991.
From Mountain View High School?
From Mountain View High School in Vancouver, Washington. And I immediately looked at the other guys on the team and wondered why their other kids' dads were playing and knew instantly that I didn't belong. I had no business being on that field.
But yet you had a scholarship.
Still had— there's mistakes made in recruiting all the time, Michael Lynch.
Well, which quarterbacks did you protect in those 2 years as a starter?
Well, that's another story. And I remembered talking to my strength coach that freshman year, because I was pretty discouraged. I was on the scout team. I was just getting my butt kicked. Wasn't very good. And I remember talking to my strength coach, and he said, don't worry about it, John. You're not done cooking yet. He said, but it's going to take you a lot of work to get there. You're going to have to be the last man standing. You're going to have to show up every day, work harder than everybody, lift harder than everybody, and be there. You're going to have to be there every day. And one of those days, there'll be nobody in front of you, and it'll be your turn. And when that happens, you got to be ready. And that's exactly what I did. I showed up my 5 years in WSU, I missed zero practices. I practiced hurt. I practiced sick, because I knew if I didn't, the next guy behind me was probably better than me, and I may not get that spot back. And I worked harder than anybody. I stayed there. And one day I showed up and there was nobody in front of me. And they said, ah, hell, I guess we got to start Sukanik. And when I went out there, I did enough to stay out there again and again and again. And before you know it, I ended up playing in 35 Pac-10 football games and started for 2 years, lettered three times. Pretty proud of it. But I digress.
You know what that sounds like to me? People always ask this question. Like, why are you so diehard Wazoo? That story, that's a Go-Cougs.
Yeah, that is—
that's a Go-Cougs.
That's a Go-Cougs.
That's a Go-Cougs and a half.
That is a Go-Cougs.
So that is it. Plus, you got to live in Pullman forever, so
yes,
that also helps. I want to dive into real quick, you know, this show gets off the rails so easily, so we don't have a ton of time, but I think we do want to talk about this. Mariners finished the 2019 season at 68-94, finished last in the American League West. Well, when you win 20 of your first 21, that's how you do it. Do we forget? Do we forget?
What were they, 13-2?
13-2.
Do we forget when everybody's like, just, and they're just mashing home runs left and right. And everybody's like, what is DePoto doing? And DePoto's like, I don't know either, but I'm really mad.
We're not losing. We're supposed to lose.
I mean, there's four teams that finish worse than them, and DePoto probably hates that really much.
Yeah.
But let's not forget, there was that early season where they just couldn't stop hitting home runs. Sure, they were playing the same team over and over and over, but there was a little bit of promise, and then, boy, it fell off quickly. Fell off real quickly.
It did. That was also expected. So that was
not having a bullpen is a bad strategy.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's hard. Well, I mean, the Nationals just won a World Series.
Well, but they
I guess you can throw Corbin out of the bullpen, right, or Scherzer if you need to.
You know what? It was a weird year for me as a Mariner fan. I knew they were gonna take the step back, the tank. I knew that was coming. I've never gone through that before. I've always, even when I knew the Mariners weren't going to be great, I had that foolish hope that maybe you catch lightning in a bottle and you know, you're in it at the deadline, you make a move and you can kind of, you know, we always had Felix, you always had a chance with Felix. So this year was strange. I knew it was going to be a step back, and it was worse than I thought. It was hard to watch. You take out that initial string, they played really bad baseball mm-hmm. for 6 months, and it was hard to watch as a Mariner. I found myself, I don't want to say caring less, but I cared less than I did in the past.
I told you how many Indians games I watched this year.
Right. And there was a part of me that just wanted them to play out the string and move on. Mm-hmm. Let's get to the offseason. And I've never felt like that during a season before.
And you've had a lot of rough Mariner years, too. And
a lot of rough Mariner years.
Was this more because it was the accumulation of so many bad years where you're just like, okay, like I'm done? Or was it because this year was just the ugliest you've seen?
Both, a little bit of both. Part of it, I think, is because, and speaking just for me, I really liked last year's team. I really liked some of those guys. I loved Nelson Cruz. I thought he was awesome. I liked James Paxton a lot. I liked having Robbie Cano on the team. I liked that team. And they got close. And DePoto's right. They were not going to overtake the Astros. They were not going to contend. We were not a player away. But they got close. They played meaningful baseball through most of the season with guys I liked watching play baseball for my favorite team. I loved every Nelson Cruz at bat. Loved that guy. And so this was the first year where they came back and they said, you know what? We're getting rid of all of those guys. We're not even fooling around anymore. Cano, gone. Paxton, gone. Diaz, gone. Cruz, gone. And in their place, you know, I have to watch Austin Nola.
Well, so I just pulled
take
up.
Bats. Daniel Vogelback has to take it bats.
I just pulled up July 31st against the Rangers. I figured that was before you guys brought all the young guys up. 9-7 loss. This was the lineup. Malik Smith, assuming you didn't like watching him very much. J.P. Crawford.
Could be a future.
Domingo Santana.
Oh, that reminds me. Gene Segura.
I like Domingo, but
Omar Narvaez.
Yeah, I do. He was him and Tom Murphy were my favorite two Mariners. They did good with him.
Murphy pinch hit in this game.
Yes.
Tim Beckham.
Ugh.
Daniel Vogelbach.
Ugh, double ugh.
Austin Nola.
Ugh.
3-for-4 with an RBI.
He actually had a good year, but
Kyle Seager.
What up, dude?
And
can't get rid of me.
Keon Broxton.
No, we can't.
No, we can't.
Yeah, Keon Broxton, who got cut by the Orioles.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you come play for us. So
Joe's not listening.
It was a hard year. It really was. And I think that was, you knew they were going to be bad. You were watching them be bad. You were watching guys that weren't going to be a part of the future.
Wade LeBlanc started that game too.
Yeah, at least he's gone. And they had gotten rid of all the players that I loved watching last year. And so as a Mariner fan, it was a tough season to get through.
Mike Leake won a gold.
I'm grateful we're in the offseason.
Mike Leake won a gold glove, just an FYI.
Yeah, come on now.
Just throwing that out there.
Okay.
So, John, then I guess real quick, because we are up against the clock. I mean, this show is always up against the clock when we have you, which is a big compliment.
Gee, why can't you stay on the clock, John?
What does next year look like?
I think
it's just the same.
I think it's going to look.
Let's see who of these guys are worth it.
Yeah. And I think the guys that you're excited about as a Mariner fan aren't quite ready yet. I think we're going to start to see some of them show up. I think Evan White gets a shot. He's a highly touted first baseman product. I think he'll get a shot to win that job. I think you'll see Crawford for the entire year at shortstop.
For sure.
He's got a chance.
For sure you will.
A lot of young outfielders are going to make the team out of spring training. So
I think that'll make it more interesting.
I think it will too, if hopefully these are the right guys. I mean, it's frustrating when you think they're the right guys and they don't play well. So I think it's going to be more of the same. It's going to be a frustrating year. But I think we'll start to see some of the light on the horizon. And even towards the end of the year, is the guys that you're really excited about are these 19 and 20-year-old outfielders that are in single A and double A. Maybe you get to the end of the season and some of those guys start getting closer to Seattle. That's when I think we'll turn the corner from depressing to hopeful. Maybe we see a little bit of that in 2020.
Yeah, and a big one for me is Justin Sheffield has to pitch better.
Well, I'm not sure if he's going to.
And that's exactly my point is everybody's excited for Sheffield and then he sucks.
Yeah.
So that's frustrating is we gave away Paxton.
Not as an Indian or a Yankee fan.
Right. To get Sheffield and he's not very good.
Yeah.
And it makes you as a Mariner fan say, well, here we go again.
Yep.
Right. Jesus Montero, Dustin Ackley.
Here we go again.
Here we go again. And that's frustrating. I'm waiting for the young kid, the highly touted young kid to come up and be Juan Soto. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. Acuna Jr. That's what I want. Just give me one of those guys.
So who is that guy? Is it Kelenic, the Mets guy?
There's the two that are highly touted right now is the Mets guy. Kelenic is apparently a world beater. And then we have another young kid, Julio Rodriguez, who's a young outfielder and apparently is just money. And those are the two kids that everybody in the farm system, everybody nationally says, when these two kids get to Seattle, lights out. And so those are the two we're kind of watching. One of them, they're double A, single A level this year. So young, still probably another full year away, if not longer. But you want to look at two names on the horizon. It's Kelenic and Rodriguez.
Well, that's it. That's the 2019 Mariners. Looking forward to the 2020 Mariners. I'm sure we will keep eyes on that as maybe we're the Astros in 2015 right now. We can just watch the Mariners grow and build. And then all of a sudden, Julio Rodriguez hits leadoff dingers left and right in World Series games. Who knows?
Maybe.
That'd be fun. All right, when we come back,
will be long gone by then. But.
Definitely long gone. When we come back, we'll do Fair or Foul with Big John Strachanek on 1080 The Fan. Fair or Foul time of the show. And without further ado, I'll just turn it over to our fantastic producer, Mr. Joseph Fisher III.
You guys ever caught a foul ball?
No.
No, I have not.
No, Joe?
No, I haven't either, unfortunately.
No.
Actually, I want to say, I don't know if I caught it, but it ricocheted towards me at a Portland Beavers game when I was a kid.
Did you get the ball?
I think I did, but then I gave it up to the girl next to me because she was crying, wailing like a baby because she got hit with the ball. So
Joe's already making moves on the ladies.
I had a couple of almost moments, but they weren't live.
Love girls
balls.
Crying.
I was sitting behind the Yankee dugout one game, and Robinson Cano threw a ball into the stands before the Nets were up. And just out of my reach, I went like five seats to my right and I tried with my long arms to reach it. I couldn't. And then in the bleachers once, a home run was hit. If you can picture Yankee Stadium, there's a gap between the bleachers and the box seats where the subway is. The home run went into the gap and a security guard was down there. I was at the very edge and I looked down and I was like, hey, throw it up. He threw it up. It didn't reach because it's a really high wall. And he went, ah, screw it, and then walked away. And I was like, really?
I caught a batting practice homer is as close as I've ever come.
Yeah.
Really?
Cleveland Indian. Remember Matt LaPorta?
Oh, yes, sir.
I caught a batting practice home run.
He was supposed to be good.
From highly touted Indian prospect Matt LaPorta at Safeco Field. But batting practice. So nothing live from a game. But BP home run.
I once had Jody Garrett look at me. He's a right fielder for the Indians. I was sitting in the right field about five rows up. He looked at me. I was wearing a Jody Garrett t-shirt jersey of the Cleveland Indians. And he looked at me and threw the ball, and this a-hole jumped in front of me and grabbed it. Some
worst.
Older guy. I was probably like 19.
Come on.
I don't even think I was 18. I think it might have been 17. My old man took me up to the game. Anyway, fire away, Joe.
All right. This will be a Washington Nationals themed fair or foul since, you know, they kind of just won the World Series.
They did the thing.
Shout out to Walgreens, by the way, too. Sharing the same letter W as them.
Yeah, how much press did Walgreens get out of that?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Probably none.
I don't know. The Walgreens on Lombard still sucks.
Walgreens are all kind of a little sketchy past a certain time.
I mean, I still go to it. It just sucks.
Yeah, 24 hours, solid. Anyways, Phillies were feeling a little sour this offseason because they got to go see the Nationals win the World Series when they paid $300 million for Bryce Harper.
$330 million.
Thank you, Michael. And now they got their hopefully new manager in Joe Girardi. And now I ask you, fellas, fair or foul, the Phillies will make the playoffs next year and the Nationals will not. So kind of a twofer.
Ooh,
that's
interesting. I will go first on this one. I will say that this is fair. I believe Strasburg is gone. I believe Rendon is gone. And I believe the Nats are going to have to start rebuilding. Not rebuilding, but they're going to have to retool. I do think the Phillies are in play for Gerrit Cole. They are going to go get a starter. The Phillies have sunk way too much money in this to not go for it again.
Anthony Rendon?
Anthony Rendon could be the starting third baseman. Steven Strasburg could be the number one in the rotation for the Phillies next year. This is fair to me.
I kind of agree with you. And I was just thinking the other day, the Nationals to me feel like kind of the one and done.
Yep. See ya. You know, made it.
Team of destiny. We did it. We climbed the mountain. We won the World Series. Now everybody wants theirs. Everybody's going to go get paid.
The Cubs.
Right? Everybody's going to leave. World Series hangover. You know, you already have Strasburg opting out. Rendon's gone. I think I'm going to go fair, too. I'm buying this.
I'm going to say foul because I think both teams will make the playoffs. I do think the Phillies will make it. I'm not a huge fan of the Girardi hire because I think Girardi is a little bit too old school for what teams are looking for these days. But I do think they're going to make the playoffs.
You and your anti-Girardi BS.
Here's what I think about the Nationals. Yes, they're going to lose Strauss. Yes, they're going to lose Rendon. They're still going to have Max Scherzer. They're still going to have Patrick Corbin. They're still going to have Juan Soto and Victor Robles and Trey Turner. They're still going to be a good team.
Yeah.
And I don't know what they're going to do this offseason either, because if they lose those guys, they're going to have lots of salary cap space to go add some players, add some guys, and maybe they'll pull a Howie Kendrick or Asdrubal Cabrera out of the hat and get an old guy to play well again for them too. I think they can make the playoffs again because they built a good team this year, even if they lose some pieces. So I'll say foul. They'll both make the playoffs.
Going back off that kind of flash in the pan, this was a great one-off kind of shot for the Nationals. Fair or foul? Because remember, they were piss poor at the beginning of the season. Just bad. I think they were like 18-30, something like that. So fair or foul, at the end of May, the Nationals had less than a 0.1% chance of winning the World Series.
Say that again?
At the end of May?
At the end of May.
When they had the same record as the Detroit Tigers?
They had less than a 0.1% chance to win the World Series.
I'd say fair. I mean, sometimes those odds are pretty stupid. Like, it's just probability at that time of the year. It's kind of hard to predict.
So much still to play. How do you calculate that out?
I don't know, but they were really bad to start the year. I'll say fair. I mean, that seems probable.
I'm gonna say foul. I think it's a really low percentage. That just seems too low. So I'm going to go foul just based on that seems really, really, really low.
I'm riding the John Schakanik train on that. That sounds too low. Much too low.
According to MLB Stats Twitter page, the Nationals had less than a 0.1% chance to win the World Series on May 28th. End of May.
Got
I was
it right.
A little liberal with the end of May statement there.
Well, that's okay.
All right, and we go to, answer me this quick one. Patrick already did, because we talked about the Nationals and what they're going to look like next year. Fair or foul, Anthony Rendon will re-sign with the Washington Nationals.
Foul.
I think this is foul, but I think the Nats have a chance. I think they have more of a chance than they did with Bryce. I think they have way more of a chance than they did with Bryce.
Sure.
And Bryce almost did it. He almost stayed there.
I don't know. There's something I read. Everyone's assuming he's leaving. All the writers are assuming he's leaving, so who am I to go against the writers who know more than I do? So I'll say foul, he's leaving.
I would agree. Where the,
whatever the fair foul question
yeah,
is.
Yeah, where there's smoke, there's fire. And the, and you would think if there was any rumor floating around out there, any possibility that he was going to stay, somebody would be playing that angle up. And you just don't hear that from anybody.
No.
You just, every single thing you read and see is that he's gone. So there, I'm going to say there's got to be something to that. And I'm going to say he's gone. I think he's out.
I think
and
there's
highest bidder.
I think there's something interesting about this, too, because he's going to get, he might not get Bryce Harper money, but he's going to get pretty damn close. He's going to get a $300. Someone's going to offer him a $300 million deal.
He made a lot of money in the postseason.
Mike and I did this on this show. I brought it to Mike. Mike joined in on me that anytime he did something, it was just cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
He made a lot of money.
And he was very, very good.
And clutch. Not just, like, clutch moments.
Right. But I wonder if the Nationals are willing to offer that money to Bryce and not to Rendon because of the marketability of Bryce Harper.
There's probably something to that.
And I'll bet you there's some to that. Because Rendon, I'd rather have Anthony Rendon than Bryce Harper. He's one of the best defensive third basemen in baseball. The clutch hitting I saw this postseason.
I'd rather have Anthony Rendon than Danny Holson. But the Mariners decided to take Danny Holson. So let me ask you this. Did what Rendon did in the World Series make up enough that marketability gap? Because I agree with you. I think part of why you pay Bryce Harper $330 million is he's that marketable star.
Right.
What was the stat you had last week, Patrick?
We just had a World Series. He arguably could have been the MVP. He's as, you know, and even from just looking at him, right? He's very distinctive looking, the goatee and the beard. He became the face of the World Series as much as anybody 100%. Did.
He's got a little mole under his right eye.
So did that performance in the World Series make up enough of that marketability gap that some team's going to say, hey, we can, the Padres are going to say, hey, we can take him and make him our star.
What was the stat you had that after the seventh inning in the World Series, he had home run, double, double, single, home run, and a walk. Yeah. Like he
baller.
Was just clutch.
Straight baller.
In the World
Unbelievable.
Series. I think he probably did to answer the question. Yeah, he probably kind of closed that gap a little bit. Marketability isn't everything.
No.
If you're going to get a really good player, you got to pay him the money.
Especially if Major League Baseball can't market anybody.
Just to end it off real quickly, it's to give it a parallel to another sport, kind of like NBA. This is almost like a Kawhi Leonard factor. The Nationals, they couldn't get it done with Bryce, a la DeMar DeRozan in Toronto. They then have a guy basically take them to the championship they didn't think they would get in Kawhi, Anthony Rendon. Now do you think if you're Anthony Rendon, I basically led this team to a World Series that they were not supposed to win. I can go do whatever I want, sign with whatever team I want, and as you've been saying, cha-ching, cha-ching, get as much money as I want at this point. Why wouldn't you want to see what else is out there and end up taking the biggest offer on the table?
Well, Rendon, has he been a National his whole career?
Yep.
Yeah. The grass isn't always greener, but I think you'll think, oh, I can go to a better situation than this.
He's
30. See what happens.
He's 30. This is his last. This is his chance at a big contract.
He's got to cash in now.
He's 30. He made $18.8 million last year. Yeah. I mean, that's him. Plus, what's the ultimate goal as a baseball player? It's to win a World Series.
Right. To make
you got it.
I mean, win a World Series.
Well, you got your World Series.
You're right, though. Once you have that, though, then it's totally feasible to have your attention turned to, all right, now let's make $300 million.
Hello, my name is Eric Hosmer. You know,
that is a good point.
Yeah. Sometimes that's how it's done. Okay. That is fair or foul. When we come back, well, maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm staring at this list of free agents in front of me and I just kind of want to talk about that.
I also think John's a little intrigued by that Alex Anthopoulos comments today that got the MLBPA all in a tizzy.
All right. Let's do that.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't. You guys can teach me something. All right. We'll do that next. But first, here's Joe with sports.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
I was really looking forward to that mashup you were about to play us there, Mike. I know that. I know that guitar riff. That wow.
Yeah, it was a mishit. I'm in here for Joe.
Yeah, where'd you go, Mike? You're not over here anymore. Kind of sad.
Well, you could have sat in the seat where you can look at me instead of turning backwards like a weirdo.
Yeah, I'm not. It's stand over. I'm comfortable over here. I got my Diet Dr. Pepper. I can see the TV reflection in the mirror over here. I'm okay.
Yeah. I mean, you could see the TV by looking at it in the other seat.
Yeah, I'm fine. It's all good.
I do want to get into these Alex Anthopoulos comments. I am very intrigued by that. One thing I do want to say, a couple little side tangents here. Steven Strasburg made $39.3 million last year.
That's a lot of money.
Really?
According to SpotTrack.
That's the main contract site that you use. Yeah, yep. That's a good one.
His 2019 salary was $39.3 million.
What did he just opt out of? Four more years at 100?
It was going to be something where he made
his last year had like a crazy amount of money on it.
It was supposed to be like $45 million.
It was like 10, 10, 10, 45.
So was his deal front loaded more so? Because it seems weird that he would make $39 million this year and then next year it was down like to 10.
But I'm just trying to remember what I think it was Rob who was looking at it. You got it up in front of you, right, Patrick?
Well, I mean, I don't have any of the contract terms. I just have this page just says what they made in 2019 and what their market value is as a free agent going into 2020.
Okay, I can pull it up. Yeah, so he made 10 in 2016, 15 in 2000 or 18 in 2017, 18 in 2018, 39 million this year. Jeez. And then it would be 25, 15, 15, 45 if he had stayed. But he already opted out, so he's not getting that.
What's it like cashing that check?
I don't know. He's 31. I mean, does he think he's getting a five-year, 30-a-year deal?
Probably. He probably will after this. I mean, obviously. I mean, think about that. He just turned down $100. You want $100 million? No. Because I'm going to go get more. That's crazy.
How about this? This was also included. This is a national special, as we found out earlier this year. Other contract notes included $10 million annually deferred to 2024 to 2030. So he would have made $10 million a year at the end of the contract if he had stayed, like the Bobby Bonilla deal, but just for less long.
Why wouldn't you do that? If you've made all the money he's made already, why wouldn't you? I'd defer as much as they would let me defer.
Yeah. I mean, Max Scherzer did that.
Right?
He's getting paid till he's like 50.
You don't need it right now.
There's a lot of guys. I mean, the starting pitching market's not too bad next year. It's really not.
Who's out there?
Strasburg, Keuchel, Porcello, Ryu, Gerrit Cole, Mad Bum, Zach Wheeler.
All right.
It's actually pretty decent.
That's better. Everything I had read was that it was kind of a down free agent year, but that's not a bad class.
I think the top like three or four are really good, and then there's a big fall off.
Sure.
But I think there's also question marks of like, which Madison Bumgarner are you getting?
Oh, that's fair.
Are you going to pay him for the World Series Madison Bumgarner? Are you going to pay him for what he was the last 2 years, which was good but not great?
Hitters are rough. It's Anthony Rendon, Jose Abreu, and that's kind of it.
Well, hitters, Didi is now unrestricted.
Yeah, hitters are rough. Donaldson.
Yep.
How old is Didi?
Ooh.
Right side of 30?
I think he might be 30. Huh. I think it might be. I'll check. He might be smack dab right there.
He'd look good up there in the Pink Nightmare.
He is 29.
Yeah. He would look good up there as in the Pink Nightmare.
Just don't pay him as if he's Robbie Cano.
Well, I don't think Jerry pays anybody like that.
But this is interesting because some of these guys, there's market value next to him. Steven Strasburg's market value, which is, you know, a guesstimation, is 30.2 mil. Josh Donaldson's on here. He made 23 mil this year. His market value is 17.8.
Yeah, that took a hit.
Dallas Keuchel, 21 this year. Market value, 20.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Interesting.
Hyunjin Ryu, 17.9 last year. Market value, 27.6.
Look, he made himself some money this year. Now, he's old, right?
33.
Yeah, I was going to say he's 30. I was going to guess 34. Yeah, so he's in his 30s. I'm not buying that Hyunjin Ryu is all of a sudden an ace pitcher. I think this was a fluke outlier year, maybe a contract year kind of performance for him. I just don't buy it because we haven't seen this from him before. He was so good in the first half of the season. He had some iffy starts in the second half, but I mean, that to me is a red flag. Do not pay Ryu $27 million.
How about this? Madison Bumgarner, $12 million, market value 21.
Where the just because he's mad bum?
I think he's mad bum. Because
people will pay for what they think he'll still do.
Jake Odorizzi, 9.5 to 17.8.
I think Odorizzi will get paid like that because he's a very consistent starter who never gets hurt.
Yasiel Puig, 9.7 to 18.
So is Mike Leake.
Mike, Gold Glove winner, Mike Leake.
Yeah, Gold Glove Mariner winner, Mike
Leake. Watch out on that. Yeah, but this does kind of get us into these Alex Anthopoulos quotes where he says, every day you get more information. We've had time to connect with 27 of the clubs. Obviously, the Astros and the Nats being in the World Series, they were tied up. But we had a chance to get a sense of what other clubs are going to look to do in free agency, who might be available in trades, which prompted Tony Clark to say the statements made by Alex Anthopoulos calling to question the integrity, blah, blah, blah. It's egregious. And we've launched a media investigation. Is this that shocking?
Well, it's not shocking, but
nobody wants the A-Rod deals anymore.
No.
Nobody wants the Giancarlo Stanton deal. That Giancarlo deal is terrible.
It's not shocking, but
Robbie Cano's deal looks really bad right now.
I don't think you want the GMs and the owners of teams colluding to not pay players market value. I think there's a difference between giving the huge deals that are terrible to a lot of people and not paying people what the market says they're worth. So I just don't I don't think it's good that they're colluding. I'm not surprised, but I just don't think it's good.
That's my thing. I don't think it's a shock that it's happening. You know, teams talk. I mean, I don't think there's some secret meeting in the Legion of Doom swamp somewhere where the representative from all the teams, they sit in the room and twist their mustache and laugh that we're not going to. Guess what? Wait till you see how we screwed Josh Donaldson this offseason. I don't think that goes on, but I think you hit it on the head. Nobody wants to be the idiot that pays Cano $250 million anymore. Nobody wants to do that. And last year was a little bit of an anomaly because you had a couple of guys, Machado and Bryce Harper, who were kind of hitting that. And there will be deals like that. But even look at what happened last year, how long it took to get those deals and kind of how they turned out. I think teams talk, and I think teams don't want to pay that. So what's surprising to me, and he didn't come out and say collusion. He's not that dumb. But I would imagine as soon as he said that quote, he kind of probably was like, oh, crap.
Whoops.
Yeah, that's not good.
Well, also think about this. The teams that signed Bryce Harper and Manny Machado did not make the playoffs.
Right. Right.
I think that's something to be said. It's like Patrick Corbin. All he wants to do is be a Yankee. All he wants to do is be a Yankee. Yanks only offer 3 years. Takes the 4-year deal in Washington.
Right. Right.
Because nobody wants to take that risk.
And I think, so let me ask you this. Do you think this offseason, as the market unfolds, and if we start to see it trend that way, where there aren't the big deals and guys are going unsigned longer, do you think teams will trumpet that fact right there? Do you think you'll hear teams say, hey, look, the teams that spent money on the two big guys last year, they watched the playoffs.
Yeah.
So why are we going to do that? Do you think we'll hear that as a reason? Do you think somebody will come out and say that as a reason for not jumping in the free agent pool for a $300 million deal?
Madison Bumgarner's 30 years old. You going to give him a 5-year deal?
No.
I mean, that might be the borderline age where you say, oh, well, maybe, but
Steven Strasburg's 31 and you're willing to give him a 5-year deal.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think there's a borderline age, especially with the a level of talent that I think you're willing to risk it, but there is obviously a risk, especially with a guy like Bumgarner who has kind of fallen off a cliff in terms of how, I mean, he's still good, but he was elite and he's not that anymore. I don't think you're going to hear that, though, because the sport is too PC is not the right word, but they mind their P's and Q's, right? Like, you're not going to hear anyone come out and be like, look, those teams paid all this money and didn't make the playoffs. We're not going to follow suit. They're going to say, like, our budget didn't allow for us to spend this much money on this person, and we've got these young guys that we're excited about, and, you know, we're going to save this money for contracts when we re-up guys that are on our team. We want to keep our guys here, yada, 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 which I think in some cases is a good point, right? If you want to save there's no salary cap, but if you want to save the money that you have to spend on contracts for your own guys, I think that's good if those guys are worth the contract, right?
Right.
I mean, you want to bring, I always use my own team as an example, but if the Yankees want to re-sign Judge and Torres and all these young players that they have, they can't, or they probably can't go out and sign Anthony Rendon for $330 million and then keep Judge in a year when his contract is up. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
See, but that's where the Yankees can.
Well, they can, but they're running them. The way that they're looking at it now is they're saying, we're not going over this number. So they They can, quote there's unquote, but they're not going to.
Well, there's consequences, but look at the Stanton contract, right? What did the Yankees get out of Stanton this year?
Nothing.
Nothing.
He was hurt the whole year.
That would cripple 26 other teams.
Yeah.
To have that number on the books and get nothing from them would cripple 25 other teams. And yet the Yankees are like, cost of doing business. We'll just roll out the next, you know. But
they also didn't pay a lot of their players that much because they were young.
Right, but that's coming. So that day of reckoning is coming. We'll see what they decide to do. It's going to come in Houston here too. They're going to have to start making some tough decisions, paying some of these young guys.
They got Bregman on the cheap.
Right, and my argument is it's almost irrelevant to have that conversation about the Yankees because they can afford to choose to do it when so many other teams can't. And in the landscape of baseball, where right now the World Series has been over a week, right? How many teams legitimately can we sit here and say are competing to be in the World Series next year?
Same that were this year.
Less than half?
Less than half.
Less than 10.
Less. I think, you have Dodgers. You have Phillies.
You could probably say the Cubs.
I'm not going to.
But you know that they're competing to get to the World Series.
Okay, so I'll give you the Cubs. That's it in the National League, in my opinion. In the American League, Astros, Yankees, Red Sox are going to take a shot at it. That's it. So, I got six.
So if you're a free agent and you're looking for the biggest deal out there and there are six or seven teams that are legitimately competing, I know you're going to hear collusion and you're going to hear these things, but part of the reason the free agent market's going to be weird is that right there.
Yep.
The Mariners aren't trying to win next year.
Nope.
So I wish they would go throw $1 bazillion at Rendon. I wish they'd go throw a bunch of money at Cole. How awesome would that be to have those guys on my favorite team?
Yeah.
But they're not going to do it because they're not trying to win.
Right.
And they're not alone. And that, we were talking earlier about the health of the game. That, I think, is the biggest problem in baseball.
That is a scary thing. When we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. We got Big John here on 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Well, this is it, boys. We've come to the end.
We've made it to the end. That show went fast.
They always do.
It went baseball season fast.
That way, they always do. I feel like there's people out there that don't even like baseball that were like, that was a good show. I don't know what the hell those idiots were talking about, but it was good.
Good show. I'd like to think there are people out there that were like, you know what? That was a show. On the radio, and we listened to it.
Those guys had microphones.
And they were on the radio, and we listened to it.
I think they had, at least somebody had a computer in front of them. Right? They had music from time to time.
Right?
That was a plus.
Joe was scatting. Joe scatting. What else do you want,
What
people?
Else do we want?
You're welcome, Portland.
Do you guys want to make stupid predictions for next year real quick?
We can.
Yeah.
Worst team in baseball next year.
I haven't even thought at all about next year yet.
Well, I know. Just Baltimore. Go. Baltimore is still the worst team in baseball?
Don't say Seattle. We were sixth worst this year.
Yeah, it's going to be Baltimore.
I'm holding out for the Marlins. Like, I think they might be super bad next year, too.
I'm not going to pretend like I watched a ton of Marlins baseball this year. I watched very little, but I paid attention to some box scores. I think they've got some young kids who are kind of good.
Donnie Baseball will find a way.
It's such a typical Marlins thing where they're trying to suck, but they have all these really good young players that they're going to get rid of because they're stupid. But I think they actually have some good guys, and I'm like, I don't think they're going to be the worst.
Okay, who wins the World Series next year?
I'm going to say as much. Well, that's kind of taking the easy way out. The easy way out is the Astros roll back and win a World Series.
For sure. They can lose Cole. They can figure it out.
Yeah.
They'll get Lance McCullers back next year.
That was the thing that frustrated me the most was there's always the World Series hangover. They're not going to have the hangover because they lost.
Yeah. I'm going to go on record and say the Yankees throw a ton of money at Cole and the Yankees win the World Series next year.
Okay, Mike?
I hope that's true. John's probably right. Like, I think the Yankees were so close this year. that they know what they need. They know that one or two extra pieces. And I think they're going to do it,
too. They're in a window.
Yeah,
they're in a window of talent where they're close.
And they're cheap at the moment.
And they're cheap at the moment. And so this is the time to go throw a ton of money at somebody and try to push them over the top. And I think the Yankees, last win in 09 was their last
win. That was the last one, yeah.
So, in fact, that was the weird stat. They said this is the first decade.
Yeah, with no Yankees.
With no Yankees. And so I think the Yankees take that serious. And they make a run at it, and I'm going to go Yankees win the World Series next year.
This might surprise you guys. In fact, it probably should. I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Dodgers. What? I think the Dodgers are going to win the World Series next year with their brand new, shiny, brand spanking new toy at shortstop named Francisco Lindor.
You think so?
That's what I think.
Lindor's going to get traded to the Dodgers?
Yeah, I do. I do. I 100% do. And don't be shocked if they land Gerrit Cole. Because they're not going to re-sign Hyunjin Ryu. Yu Darvish can kick rocks. Not Yu Darvish, sorry, but Kenta Maeda can kick rocks. Rich Hill is a free agent. Adios. They're going to have so much money off the books. They're going to be able to spend money. They're going to go after some guys.
If he's going to go to California, I'd rather have him go to the Dodgers. I don't want him in Anaheim.
If I see Frankie Lindor in a Dodger uniform, I'm going to puke.
That'd be tough for you.
But if he wins a World Series, then I'll give it to the kid.
Okay, well, let me ask you this
question. They'll move Seager to second if that's what you're going to ask.
The Lindor love meter right now for you is 100.
It's like 110.
He goes to the Dodgers. What's that number look like?
76.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
Yeah. He becomes my second favorite player in baseball that's not an Indian behind Mike Trout. He might even become my third because I love Christian Yelich.
Okay. That's fair. Good answer.
Yeah, I won't hate him because it's not his fault. It's not his fault we can't afford to pay the kid $350 million.
I really don't understand how a team like the Indians, who has been good for a while, can't afford to pay these guys.
The most money I've ever seen us pay for a guy in the last like 7 years was paying Edwin Encarnacion $20 million a year, and it was like, whoa, what are we doing here?
And then you traded him almost immediately.
Yeah. I don't know.
It does seem like their window shut real quick.
Oh, yeah, it's done.
Real quick.
It's done.
Hey, man, we still got Clevinger's good.
Yeah, you got a good
Shane Beebs. Hey, we'd be all right.
Better than the Mariners.
Don't mess with cancer. Carrasco. Kluber's going to be healthy next year. Who knows? All right. For Mike Lynch, that's Big John Sukanik in the house. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do. Like, I can't believe I picked the Dodgers to win the World Series. Hopefully that will change later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.